You brought together Key West pink shrimp, Florida blueberries, and sweet corn. It's not a typical combination. Where did you get the inspiration from for that?
Carl, if I'm being honest, my inspiration came from you. I don't know if you realize the inspiration you have putting us chefs on this platform, this podcast, everything you do for us.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country and the official podcast for the New York, California, and Florida restaurant shows, the Pizza Tomorrow Summit, and the U.S. Culinary Open at NAFM. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. Email us to learn more at info@thewalkandtalk.com. All right, this week on the Walk and Talk podcast, we've got a good one, and it's personal. Chef Thomas Parker is in studio with us, fresh off of filming our new mini-documentary. We're going to be talking about behind-the-scenes stories, crazy moments on the set, and how the film and dish came together. A big thanks to the crew at Royal Cup Coffee for bringing on Walk and Talk Media to turn up the energy at their booth for the 2025 National Restaurant Show in Chicago. The daily video recaps on the show were terrific. I have to give a big shout out to Pooch, Jordan, and Glenn. You guys absolutely crushed it. It's actually an honor working alongside such a solid team. You cats are amazing. Head over to @walkandtalkshow on Instagram to catch all the video recaps, folks. I don't think you'll be disappointed. And if you are, too bad. Plus, we've got Chef Carl Riding from Crab Island Seafood here cooking up two killer dishes. He's going to stick around and chat about what he made, what he cooked up. It's delish. Chef Parker.
Yes, sir.
You were here for the cooking.
Man, let me tell you, it was cool to be on the other side because normally I'm the one doing the cooking here.
True story. You came in dressed like a movie star versus like somebody from the kitchen.
Stop it.
Look at you. You're buttoned down to the chest. You got the hair. This isn't 1977. This isn't Staying Alive. Are you John Travolta? What is this? What's going on here? How are the dishes?
Man, like the two dishes were fantastic. Like I said, I'm fortunate. I feel fortunate that I got to be on this side this time. The en croute, you know my love for French cuisine. That one was special to me. But that dip was wild, like so good. That Chef Carl, your Crab Island Seafood dips, man, what a product. Like from one chef to another, that stuff rocks.
Thank you.
What'd you make, Carl?
The chicken and crab en croute that was stuffed with a spinach and artichoke dip with shaved asparagus and roasted red pepper and a creamy chicken demi-glace.
What's the difference between your dip and something from a grocery store?
Well, for starters, most dips that you get at the grocery store are not with cream cheese. So ours are made with cream cheese, which means you can heat them up. You can make a sauce out of it. You can stuff it in things. You make grilled cheese. The ideas are endless.
Well, and forgive me, when I introduced you, I simply said Carl. Because, you know, I'm a Carl and that's just how I get down. Yeah. But you're an executive chef. Like you're right. Nothing to play with. Like you're kind of a big deal in the kitchen. Just saying. You're building these recipes from the perspective of a chef.
Right.
For chefs to use in the kitchen. Also, obviously, for, you know, people at home, residential, whatnot, retail. What was in the other dish?
So that was a Hawaiian style nacho with a mojo pork and a mango salsa served with a crab rangoon that made into a cheese sauce.
I watched Chef Thomas house that whole. He ate you, dude. Let me tell you something,
dude. I ate half of it.
Yes,
that was a. I mean, that's a shareable portion. I ate half of it.
I saw
the mojo pork, the mango on the kimchi on it. Oh my god, it was good.
Listen, people. By the way, chefs in the Central Florida market. You can find Crab Island Seafood at Peninsula Food Service. They're carried there. And that's anywhere from Orlando all the way to Tampa, down to Sarasota. And it's that whole corridor. You can DM me, call me, check me out. I'll connect. Thomas, We did a thing last week.
We did a pretty incredible thing last week, man.
How excited were you?
Dude, I thought I was excited going into it, but the experience and the overwhelming passion that just naturally radiated from the environment we put ourselves in, like, that was just, words can't describe it. I'm speechless.
Talk about what we did.
So there's a lost art to us being a chef. You know, the mentors that taught us, the chefs that we grew up studying, we grew up following, their day used to start at 7-8 o'clock in the morning, getting up, going to the markets, picking out their own ingredients for their own dishes. And, you know, we did that. We were down at the shrimp docks at 6 a.m. picking out our own shrimp, getting to know the shrimp mongers. Then
Morris Gump,
as he says, not to be confused with Forrest. That's Morris.
Man, if there was ever a character to be, you know, kind of featured a little bit in a documentary, it's that cat.
That he is who you want to run into. He's who you want to know. He's who you want to get the stories from. Like, that is the true insight of their day to day, their life, and the trials and tribulations that they go through being out on a boat for extended periods at a time.
Thomas, you foraged for ingredients across Central Florida. You said it, from the Tampa docks to the local farms. In the piece, in the documentary, you actually mentioned you felt like Bourdain. Talk about that.
Man, you know, I grew up watching Anthony Bourdain on TV. I grew up reading about all the chefs that I've looked up to my entire career. Like, I got to do that. I got to go to the shrimp docks, meet the fishermen, pick out my own ingredients, talk to the farmers, hear their stories and struggles of what they go through. You know, we all try to relate to our farmers every career. You know, when you're talking to somebody about work, that's just what you relate to, is your own experiences. But in doing what we did, like, you really find out the experiences and how there is no relation to every career that goes on, and what it really takes to provide us chefs with the quality ingredients that we put on our plates.
So what part of this odyssey that we went on that day left the biggest impression on you?
It's hard to pick just one, but I'll go back to Morris, because Morris was, like I said, he's the person you want to meet, because he gave us such an insight. And just him talking about how he was out for 40 days on his last fisherman journey, and he came home with $1,300.
45 days.
45 days out there. Over 40 days on a boat, barely eaten, struggling to survive, and you come home with only $1,300 in your pocket.
Not only is it something where you have to catch to be paid, but it's dangerous.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
I mean, they're out in the Gulf of Mexico, well, the Gulf of America, and they're doing their thing, and they're gone for more than a month. I don't know if people can wrap their brain around, you know, it, like, if you have to take a car ride from Tampa to Orlando and it's like 2 hours because of traffic and you hate your life, imagine being out on a not that big of a vessel in the middle of the Gulf for over a month. Oh my gosh. Seeing that you're not bringing in the right amount of shrimp that you're going to make any money. Can you imagine? You know, we talk about mental health awareness and we talk about all of these things that are, you know, problematic, right? Imagine what kind of turmoil you go through internally on a boat.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was talking about, you know, the 30, 40, 50,000 gallons of fuel that they got to put in the boat and then feeding the crew on top of it. And like, you literally just, you can't come back home. You can't come back to the dock until you've caught enough shrimp, fish, whatever it is, to cover that fuel cost, cover the crew, and still turn somewhat of a profit to pay the crew.
Yeah, I want to give a thanks to Superior Seafood for allowing us to come in and do that. Ernie, who's the owner, we arrived super early before he even got there. And that's where we ran into Morris and what an amazing experience just to be in Tampa, dark, sun's not up yet. The boats that are still there, like it's an eerie but beautiful time and experience. You brought together Key West pink shrimp, Florida blueberries, and sweet corn. It's not a typical combination. Where did you get the inspiration from for that?
Carl, if I'm being honest, my inspiration came from you. I don't know if you realize the inspiration you have putting us chefs on this platform, this podcast, everything you do for us. We're so grateful for it. And when you came to me and said, let me know about your relationship with the shrimp dock and the blueberry farm and the corn, all the local farmers markets and what they offer, I said, let's create a dish from this.
Wow. I thank you for that. It's not often where I'm hearing anything of the sort. You know, people are nice online and, you know, I'll get a message every now and again that'll say something about, hey, what you guys are doing, it's great for the industry. And, you know, they'll give us an attaboy. But I appreciate you're sitting a foot and a half away from me. I appreciate that you said that. You're looking me in the face and you're telling me that. I sincerely appreciate that. You didn't just source local, though. You were out there picking the ingredients yourself. We got to go to the origin of the ingredient here in Florida, where we live. There might be a time in the future where we're going to be on the road and we get to experience this in other states. But this one was special. I said it was personal because we live here. And what we did was focus on here. And I think that's part of the beauty of how this whole film kind of came together. It's a short documentary. It's a mini doc. So it's like it's just shy of 8 minutes. But it's 8 minutes of passion. How did that hands-on experience change the way you see your own cooking?
You said it best. You said it's passion. You know, it's funny. There's one point in the documentary and I was getting into the commentary and the questions that when we were interviewing, that there was one point where like it almost brought me to tears. That's how passionate I got speaking about it. But yeah, it all comes down to the passion for whatever it is you're cooking. You know, we put together shrimp and blueberries and corn. That's not a normal flavor combination, but I feel that as a chef, you should be able to elevate and pair almost any ingredient together and find that way to create that balanced dish.
Yeah, but it wasn't just that you threw blueberries on a plate, you know, or corn on the cob. You did some unique techniques. Go ahead and explain what you did.
Yeah, so a handful of years ago, you know, fruit-infused barbecue sauces really became a thing. So I thought, well, let's create a blueberry harissa glaze for the shrimp. Well, let's fire the charcoal grill up. Let's really get some char on that. Let's hit it with that beautiful glaze with the fruit infusion into it. And that'll bring such a nice sweetness balance to something that is typically very spicy in harissa. And then with the corn, the corn is near and dear to my heart. I'm a Midwest boy. I grew up in Ohio. I lived around corn farms the first 30 years of my life. So Florida sweet corn was the very first thing that was ever available to us in Ohio. We had that for the first 2 months of corn season before Ohio sweet corn came into play, because clearly different climates, Ohio and Florida. So that's what we had to work with. And I couldn't wait for the fresh corn sale of the spring. I wanted to utilize the corn in multiple different variations. You know, when I create a dish, I typically try to pick 3, 4, or 5 elements to it and use those ingredients in different ways.
For me, the whole dish was great. But the poached shrimp and corn cake was a standout. Where did you come up with the idea for that?
So right now in my restaurant, my best-selling appetizer is my crab cakes. And I thought about doing a shrimp cake, but then I thought, how can you change that? You know, how can you do it different than just a normal shrimp cake? So I created the filling, which we poached that beautiful pink shrimp. We grilled some of the corn and added it to it. mixed it with some infused mayonnaise and some cream cheese. And then I basically froze that and then cut it out with a mold. And then we breaded it traditionally, just like you would bread a chicken parm, you know, flour, egg, breadcrumb, and then lightly fried it. So as you cut into it, it was super light and airy and runny and just added a whole nother element to the dish.
For the audience, both of these chefs here today are from Ohio, and you know, they have a unique experience on food.
Ohio.
Right. What I think where they're lacking is in college football. And you know, John and I, being that we're from Miami, you know, we're just, it's all about the U. And I just wanted to make it clear that
don't go
that,
there,
that Miami is inherently better along with the corn. So to move forward.
Yeah, I don't think so, but I order.
But you know, it's true. All right. From Keel Farms to the Crossroads Market, we hit several spots. For everyone listening, it isn't that, I mean, this was arranged. This was put together. It was produced. But it wasn't done in a way where it was scripted. Most of the things that we do at Walk and Talk Media aren't scripted. There's loose outlines, and you know, we utilize the experiences, the passions, and the knowledge base of the people that were around that we have onto the programs, the various programs. So when I explain to Chef Thomas, hey, we're going to end up going to a blueberry farm, a corn farm, when we're going to the docks and whatnot, it's up to him to talk. It's up to him to question. It's up to him to share the particular emotions that he's experiencing at each location. Thomas, how did you stay grounded in that? How did you embrace the fact that you were in these spots doing something very different, in that not every chef gets to do a documentary?
Yeah. Super grateful. And it's funny you say that, because I was just with my in-laws last weekend, and my father-in-law, who personally called me to tell me how proud he was of me. And that was a great feeling. He looked at me and he asked me, he's like, were you reading from a script? Like what, like, how did you do that? How did you know what to say? And I told him, and it the answer simply just comes down to this. It is the passion. Like when you have that natural passion that us chefs have, like, it just radiates from you. It just comes through naturally. There's no trying effort that you have to put into it.
This was Walk and Talk Media's first mini documentary, short documentary. Thomas, you were the center of it. Being that it was largely impromptu in how you were explaining or communicating with everyone, how did you do that? How does it feel to have a camera crew following you around, drones and all of this stuff, and still being able to tap into this passion that you're talking about?
I don't know if there's a specific feeling, but like, it was just natural. It was so cool because it was just, I just naturally got to be myself. You know, I've done the local news multiple times. We've done the shooting here in the studio, and like, it's a completely different feel from that to what we did for the documentary, because we were out on the farm. Hey, go find yourself some corn, man.
It's the truth. So by the way, you know, I don't know, a week before, I never look at the weather that far in advance for anything. And, you know, Chef Thomas gives me a call one day. He says, do you know it's supposed to rain on the day for filming? And I'm like, don't worry about it. It's like a week away, man. And it's going to be fine. Sure enough, it's like half torrential downpours throughout the day. And let me tell you something. At first I was nervous about that, because I figured, oh man, that's literally raining on our parade. You know, it added so much character. You know, John, when John saw it, he goes, you know, you were worried about the weather. He goes, dude, that made
it made the experience.
It made the film. It gave it so much personality and character.
Yeah, you think the shrimpers or the farmers stop because it's raining outside? Heck no.
Will did a fantastic job. Oh,
Will was awesome. Will was such a professional. So cool.
He, this was his first. He's done film. He's done all sorts of stuff. He's super good. But this was his first actual documentary. This was all of ours first documentary. And I feel like it came out splendidly. I don't know a better way to say it. I actually submitted it to a bunch of film festivals and whatnot. A lot of them domestic, some here in Florida, and some were, you know, out of the country. So we'll see what happens with that. But I feel like it was really well done. And I feel like you really touched on the essence of what it is to be in the food business. The food industry, you know, listen, people from banking or people from other sectors in different levels of their careers or whatever, they look at food service or they look at the people in the business and maybe they look down. I don't know. But at the end of the day, executive chefs make a very healthy living. Most of the people in the industry do well. There's a lot to talk about in terms of dollars, money, percentages, things of that nature. That's a whole nother open conversation. But if you do things the right way and you're in the right situations, you do very well. With that said, man, you bridged the gap between entertainment, passion, and the food industry. You put it all together. It's like a trifecta. So what I think, I want to do more of these. I am inclined now, after pulling one off, I want to do these as often as we can. Obviously, you know, we're looking for sponsors and partners to be involved in these things. But I think we can do so much to open the eyes of the average person to the plight, to the struggles of the people who prepare our food. These people feed us with grace and we don't even know.
Yeah, we got in front of three ingredients. How many ingredients are out there? How many ingredients are local that we can get in front of? And it's such an experience. It's an experience talking to the farmer, the fisherman, the cattle herder. I mean, like, the possibilities are endless, and it's only going to create more of an experience for us chefs to get it out to the audience and really show them this is what it's all about.
Yeah. I've always been a big, big fan to know where your food comes from. There's a whole different world where, you know, it comes from, say, ocean to table. Big line. Always been a big fan of that.
When you're talking about fishermen, when you're talking about a microgreens farmer, when you're talking about, you know, tomato farmers, growers, citrus, each one of them, yeah, you're dealing with elements, you're dealing with water, you're dealing with sunlight, you're dealing, you know, pests, you're dealing with all the same stuff, but they're all individually very different from each other. You talk to him, you know, like our friend Marvin, he's a microgreens farmer. He's got it like rough like anybody else does, but his life, what he does on a daily basis is different than somebody who raises cattle. It's just different, but it's hard. It's not an easy life. And yes, you can make money. And yes, you know, it's a good life. I think it's a wholesome life. I think it's something where, you know, we should all, you know, in my perfect world, everyone would have enough land to support their own food, yeah. You know, but obviously we don't live in that, you know, that's not something that's, I don't even think possible, but here we are. Chef Carl, we have the opportunity to tell the stories and we have an audience base, thankfully, who listens. It's amazing. It's really amazing where we are right now. I can't believe that I can say I was an executive producer of a documentary.
I can't believe I can say I was in a documentary at all.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to say it for you. Like, that's my point. Are you kidding me? That's like somebody writes a book and they become an author, right? Well, you make a short film, you know, and put it together and whatnot, and now you're the executive. Anyway, I'm out of my mind with the fact that we pulled this off. And then, you know, obviously, so, and just to everybody understands, this was a 12-hour day. And it started at dark and it ended at dark, basically. And we came back to Ibis Images Studios, where Chef Thomas actually finished the dish. We cooked everything. Well, Thomas cooked everything here. And of course, John was here, ready to capture the dish on film, you know, in terms of photography. And it's a gorgeous dish with, of course, gorgeous photography. I hate, you know, stroking you over there, man. But he does such a good job. Everybody did such a damn good job. More to come.
Definitely. Definitely more to come.
If you had to build a sequel dish, all Florida ingredients again, what's your next move?
Off the top of my head, I don't know the exact dish, but like, we got to do something with citrus, Florida citrus. Using acid to balance a dish, just that overwhelming pop of lemon juice or lime juice or even orange juice. It really, I think that speaks to Florida cuisine quite a bit.
I see Chef Carl, he's bouncing his head up and down over there. You agree?
I absolutely agree. Citrus gives you a whole different level of flavor, of freshness, a cleanness to it. So even in my dips, I use a lot of citrus. It helps to balance everything out very well.
You know, the thing about Florida, it's a funny place. Half of the year, a little less than half of the year, we have all sorts of produce here. The soil content in Florida is not the soil content of, say, California. It's just different. So a lot of the, you know, leafy veg that's grown here, it's a little on the bitter side. You have to do more to it from the chef's perspective to really turn up the flavors, mm-hmm. and make it something where you'd want to, you know, order it. It's part of the challenge, but it's part of the beauty, because if you make it right, it's damn good.
Tomatoes, lemons, limes, snapper. We have beautiful local snapper. I mean, we can create a great dish from those ingredients.
As we look forward to more documentaries, obviously there's going to be more chefs, more people who want to get involved in this. I think that maybe you could be a good point person to help on menu development for these documentaries. Something that we can actually build out, frame out. We can do a year's worth of this and really do some good, I think, for our industry.
Definitely. You know, my creative mind, stupid at times, like I'll pair the oddest ingredients together and it just comes out absolutely phenomenal, a flavor bomb that you're just not used to. Hey, Chef Carl, isn't your crab Florida blue crab?
Yes, it is. We love to have local products in our stuff. Yeah, we're Florida born, want to keep it that way.
You're using some fresh mahi too, mm-hmm. some local fresh mahi.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Carl, your prime candidate for a documentary sitting right here. He's got a local company. He's using local ingredients. There it is.
Well, I think we can definitely do some crossover work with that. I mean, if you're interested.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I want to talk about this more. And this is something, John, you know, we're going to do this. And I want to do it in a big way. There is nobody out there doing what we're doing. And I don't say that as, you know, backslapping myself or, you know, I say that humbly. I don't see anybody doing the content, the type of content, and the quality of content and the depth with the passion that we're doing. I just don't see it.
And we're looking for it. especially us chefs, when we have downtime, when we're looking for inspiration, we live on social media. We're looking for the type of content that we're doing, and it's few and far between.
You know who else lives on the Gulf that would make for a terrific show? Pooch.
Do one in Louisiana.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to come up with a Louisiana crab dip.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Well, so far the thought is like the Holy Trinity, you know, peppers, onion, celery, put that in there. Maybe some andouille or some tasso ham kind of thing. And, you know, maybe some like, I don't want to use Old Bay, but a crab boil type flavoring.
There's a company called Dat's Sauce. And they're out of Louisiana. Amazing product. I'm going to connect you guys. And I think that the friendship's going to go forever. That's my opinion.
Awesome.
By the way, Pooch, great job at the NRA, man. That blooper reel was funny as could be.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
At first I'm looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, oh man, you know, they just showed the guts of, the behind the scenes there. Because that's what I do too. Like half of the time when I have to redo my stuff, I'm usually, with the bloopers and the things and all that. And it's funny to see somebody else. I thought it was hilarious. Yeah, you're right, man. Pooch, yeah, you did a terrific job, brother. I'll say it again to Jordan and Glenn out there. You guys did a terrific job over at the Royal Cup Coffee booth, and they did probably like 20 interviews a day.
Wow.
By the way, in August, we're going to be at the California Restaurant Show, and that is going to be amazing. We are the official podcast for the California Restaurant Show. So we're going to be part of the show.
That's nice. Cool. That's awesome.
It's amazing. And you know, Restaurant Events LLC, these cats are great people. They're down to earth. They're as human could be. And I feel like this is another one that's going to, relationship's going to go on for a long time.
That's exciting.
Chef Carl, what's your socials? How do people find you?
On all social media, Crab Island Seafood.
Excellent. Follow this guy, please. Thomas.
Chef_Thomas Parker.
John, do you have Facebook? Like, what do you have? Facebook or something? MySpace? What do you have?
Facebook and Instagram.
How did we find you, John?
At Ibis Images.
Ibis Images. Catalogs, menus, food photography. If you're not with John Hernandez at Ibis Images, you know where. All right, guys, I love you all. I appreciate you coming out today. Fantastic show. More documentaries to come. We are out.